Like Call It What You Want, which we know is your favorite podcast about the beautiful game, Vuori is committed to delivering a great experience for everyone, which is highlighted by their new perspective on performance apparel. Everything is designed to work out in, but doesn't look or feel like it. In fact, I'm rocking their Stratotech polo right now, along with their Sunday performance jogger pants, so I can be business on top when I'm on camera, but super comfortable on the bottom. And it's just the best. Vuori gear is incredibly versatile, and it can be used for just about any activity. Running, training, swimming, lounging around, hosting podcasts, doing errands, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. And for our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/call it. That's Vuori.com/call it. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/call it and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Jimmy Trashcan, Cream Cheese Connor, Dino Conrad, alongside Hollywood Harry Pierce and Chuck Wagon Davies. And on today's episode, not only do all of us need to get our collective thinking caps on to commit to figuring out how to get Florin Balogun into the U.S. Men's National Team player pool, which is going to be harder to do, everybody, after he scored a hat trick this past week for his French club. We first have to talk to a very, very important person, a VVIP, and our special guest and our friend of the show, Christian Roldan. Now, before we bring him on, I just want to state that he is in Morocco right now with the Seattle Sounders to take on Al Ahly this weekend in the FIFA Club World Cup, the first MLS team to ever participate in this competition. And Heath, you made this happen. You got Christian here. What are you excited to talk to him about?
Man, he's one of these, I don't know if the word journeyman is the right one because he's still got so much time in his career left, but he's done so much already, right? And now he's getting another chance after World Cup to now do a Club World Cup, which I think is a really unique circumstance, and just very curious to hear about the seriousness of it, right? The magnitude, how big it is, how much it means for the club and for him personally.
Okay, cool. Chuck, what do you want to talk to Mr. Roldan about?
I want to know how this World Cup has helped his career and his perspective, what he saw in Qatar and the dynamics of that team, that experience. How do you think that'll add to what he has left in this game?
AKA Jimmy, you know what he's going to ask about that team, you know?
Yes, he is. So we already know. Chuck's saying one thing. It's a misdirect, everybody. He's playing a shell game with us. Where's the red ball? He's going to ask something completely different. All right.
Without further
Freddy ado, it's time for the Tale of the Tape for our special guest, standing 5'8" tall, weighing a robust 165 pounds, which is all muscle, of course. It's the pride of El Rancho High School in Southern California, who then decided to make the state of Washington his adopted home after going to the University of Washington, playing for the Crossfire, the PDL, before playing for the Sounders for 8 years, winning 2 MLS Cups and 1 CONCACAF Champions League, and parlaying the success into 41 caps and a spot in the 2022 World Cup roster for the U.S. Men's National Team. It's Christian Roldan! I'm out of breath. Christian, great to see you. Looking fresh as always.
Thank you, and I definitely need to bring that same energy, but it is 9 o'clock. I'm trying to wind down. Got an important game in a couple days.
You do.
Yes.
I'll let you continue with that energy.
Okay, Christian. Well, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for your time. We know it's late there in Morocco. We're very excited for you and the rest of the Sounders to be participating in this competition. Once you guys won the Champions League and you knew that this was coming, I mean, what does it feel like to actually be there now amongst it, knowing that you have a big game on Saturday?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because we knew it was coming, but we had no idea where it was going to be played. Who were we playing against? We literally just found out yesterday who we're playing against, which is pretty crazy. But
yeah, right.
The magnitude of this tournament is just crazy. You know, you win one game and you're playing Real Madrid in a competitive match. You know, if you're not excited about that as a professional athlete, then you're in the wrong sport because, you know, or wrong business because you want to be playing against the best clubs in the world in a competitive game.
Yeah, I mean, technically, you could play against Real Madrid in basketball, so it is the wrong.
That's true.
But I will say this before we focus. I mean, at least my question's on the field. For people that maybe don't know, what is it like to travel this type of distance, the jet lag that you have to deal with while trying to be sharp? Well, again, all of these variables that are existing, like not knowing who you're going to play, the sleep deprivation that could come with it. I'm assuming you love your sleep. I mean, what is that like dealing with going into a big game like this?
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, you know, we talk about the World Cup prior to the FIFA Club World Cup. The World Cup ended December, 5th for us. And I have essentially 10 days to kind of take off and then start my whole season all over again. And it's tough. We had a really long year last year, and it becomes really difficult because you need to find your rest. But now you're flying across the world, essentially. We luckily were able to go to Spain, adjust a little bit to the time, the same time zone as here in Morocco. But it takes a couple days out of you, and your trainings aren't as sharp. And look, we've had 4 weeks together to prepare for this game. And you guys all, have played it at a really high level. 4 weeks is not a lot of time. But at the same time, we can't carry that as an excuse. We want to go in there and show what we're capable of at the world stage.
So what's going to be the difference for this Seattle Sounders in 2023 compared to 2022? Because, yes, you were making history as a game changer for an MLS club to now participate in the Club World Cup. But I think it paid a toll on you as you finished 11th place. Now, I'm accustomed to seeing the Sounders always in the top two in the Western Conference. It's been, I think, about 6 years since you've finished outside the top two. So do you think it was you put everything into qualifying for that Club World Cup? It took a toll for this team. But come 2023, it's a new season, new energy. How different is this team going to be compared to last year?
Yeah, I think, we did put a lot of effort into Champions League. Obviously, the travel is not easy. We played some really intense games middle of the week while other teams were resting. We had several injuries. We probably got away with certain things as players in the locker room that, normally we wouldn't get away with, right? Because we won Champions League so early. It's so interesting when you win a trophy so early in the season, and this never – it hardly happens, right? You win a trophy this early in the season – and players can be like, it was a successful season. And so mm-hmm. I think that we've kind of already spoke about that and how that's never going to happen again. But it's interesting because we're all human beings and it's, natural to be like, all right, we're at this high. And all of a sudden, we're happy because we're so happy because we accomplished something that no one has ever accomplished. And now we can just relax. And that's not the attitude that we need. And, that's something that we've already talked about, which has been great for us.
Now, unless you win the Club World Cup, and then we'll do it one more time, and then next year we'll be good.
You know what? We'd all forgive you for that. We'd be like, it's fine. They won the Club World Cup.
Then we could be talking about 2024. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. So talk to me about this, because when we look at the scheduling for the clubs that you could potentially face to win this trophy, Al Ahly is 15 games into their season. In Egypt, they're coming off of playing Auckland City, so they already got a little bit of taste of this competition, almost like the MLS playoff play-in games before the team that did the best has to sit and wait and not really get into that playoff mentality. Now you guys need to jump into this against a team that's already kind of figured out who they are in their particular season. And then obviously, assuming, I'm sure you're not looking ahead, but if you do, you got Real Madrid, who's also in the middle of their season as well. So how does that factor in? And what do you think you have to do, let's say, in the first 5, 10, 15 minutes to really let Ali know that this is a game that's going to be super competitive and you expect to win it?
Yeah, this is a team that I think has placed third place in the last 3 FIFA Club World Cups. I mean, we're not looking past Al Ahly. They have quality. And, you know, that's something that we have spoken about to heart, because this is a good team and they've got a lot of internationals that play at a really high level. And so it'll be important for us to transition well, because they're a team that, you know, sends a lot of players forward. And then we're also going to have to, you know, defend in a low block at times. But look, we understand where we're at fitness wise. You know, we're at 4 weeks into preseason. They're undefeated during the year. We have to, you know, find ways to kind of slow the game down just as much so that we can have that energy late in the game.
Well, let me ask you this, you know, on a personal level, because on the club level domestically, right, MLS Cup, CONCACAF Champions League, you've won Gold Cups, we've got a Copa America coming. For you, you know, Club World Cup, really from a decorated standpoint, you've got to be in the top few, right, that have done all these things or checked all these boxes, if not maybe one of the only. What from a personal goal standpoint, is there any other trophies or things that you have on your mind for your career, whether they're huge and lofty beyond Major League Soccer or otherwise? Are there other goals or trophies that you want to win?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm a competitor, man. I want to be lifting trophies each and every year. Obviously, Leagues Cup is a big one. You know, mm-hmm. for MLS clubs, you know, it'll be something new for us. So, again, being the first to do it in this format would be amazing. I didn't actually never won Nations League. You know, I was part of the group stage matches, but didn't, you know, get called up for the semifinal final. That would be amazing. Obviously, being part of Copa America in itself would be a real treat. But look, as long as I do my part at the club level and I feel like I have exhausted all my energy and have gotten better each and every year, and I can tell myself, look, I'm really happy with my career and how it went, you know, at this point, I think that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I want to continue to win trophies. Look, I signed 5 years at Seattle because I believe in this team. I believe in this franchise and I want to continue winning. I don't want to just kind of ride out my career and be like, you know, I'm leaving my legacy here because I've played in a lot of games. I want to be the one that's been decorated with winning trophies.
Well, you talk about lofty goals and being competitive, ultra competitive. Talk about what this World Cup appearance going to Qatar meant to you. How did it change your perspective? What did it feel like to see these games and be a part of a special team that's kind of turned the tide from the previous cycle that you were a part of such a special process? What was that whole experience like for you?
Yeah, number one, I think we had such a great group there, such a united group, a group that, you know, had been through a lot together over the 4.5 years under Greg. And, you know, we saw that brotherhood there when, you know, there's 10 minutes left in the game and, you know, the bench is rooting on the guys on the field. I mean, that's the culture that, you know, you want to be part of. And, you know, I think that plays a huge factor in guys getting the most out of guys. And, you know, I wasn't fortunate enough to, you know, get on the field, but I saw how united the group was. And I think that's what makes it so beautiful, right? Doing something special or competing for something as a unit. And I think that's what we need here at the FIFA Club World Cup, right? We're not the fittest. We're not the sharpest because we haven't played meaningful games. And if we can play as a collective unit, you know, we can get past these teams. All you need to do is be the better team on that giving day. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's the attitude that we need to have. And that's what we need, well, what I took from, you know, the World Cup to, and use this to, for the FIFA Club World Cup.
Now, just to take it back to the World Cup, using my own experience, I remember just being in a bubble, and anything that was happening outside of the bubble, we just didn't know. We didn't know what the media was talking about. We didn't know any drama or controversy that was going on, or how big it was potentially getting or amplifying back home when we were in Germany during this time. And Bruce Arena had made some comments about Landon Donovan and DeMarcus Beasley that he shouldn't have done, but he came back a couple hours later and snuffed it out and apologized and all that. But that story had already gotten legs and had created its own life somewhere else. And I bring this up because the Gio Reyna stuff, I got to say, because I just, like, if it's happening within the team, if I were you, I'd just be getting the popcorn, putting my feet up like this, going, all right, let's, like, this is crazy, but let's just keep going some more. You know, what was that like? Or were you just in a bubble and didn't really hear all the noise like me back in the day?
Well, for internally, we had solved it together. And so we already had moved on and we were all good. And, you know, we had dealt with it internally. And so to see it come up later, of course, we're, as players, you're like, well, we already dealt with this. This is not an issue. This is becoming more of an issue than what it actually was. Because, you know, as players, you know, Gio was bought in, you know, after he had apologized and came out and, you know, had the group kind of, you know, talk it through. And, you know, as that's why I talk about our group, it was so special and it was so united. And, you know, all that outside noise obviously is outside noise, but as players, we had dealt with it internally, and it was an amazing effort to get everybody back bought in, you know?
And you talked about the team being united and how you could feel that. And we've heard things about, you know, whether it's Gio or other players sort of going into the World Cup, being told they made the World Cup, but also being told their role. Did you have a conversation with Greg about what your role would look like? Or was it more like, hey, you're going to probably play more of a supportive role, you know, be ready to be used? Or was there a specific conversation about what your role would be for the team, for the group, in that World Cup?
No, I never had a conversation with Greg about my role, but, you know, I kind of understood where I was at going into it. You know, I understood that I probably was going to have a bit of a reserved role, but, you know, that didn't stop me from being super competitive in training and trying to show that I'm more than capable of, you know, helping the team both, you know, on and off the field. I think that's just my mentality, right? I think, and that's why I think I was selected, because ultimately I felt like, you know, whether I was on the field or not, I would be making an impact, whether it was in practice or, you know, within the locker room or, you know, in the film room. You know, it's important to have those types of guys, even though, you know, they might not see the field.
Is there any particular teammate within that U.S. setup that you've been impressed by that has grown substantially since the time that you've started playing with them, that you said, wow, he's really developing over the past couple of years or over the past 6 months? That we've seen, you know, him start to do things that he hasn't been able to do, and now he's turned into maybe a special player in your mind?
Yeah, I think a couple of players have come to mind. Obviously Matt Turner, with how he's improved, mm-hmm. You know, with his feet, and then obviously, you know, understanding when to play short, when to, you know, play long, just managing the game. Yunus Musa, oh, tremendous player. I can't say enough of, you know, or just, I can't say a bad thing about him and personally. And then also as a player, I think he's tremendous and will only grow. And then I think Anthony Robinson, I think he's grown so much over the last, you know, 4.5 years. You know, he wasn't really in the picture, and you know, he was a staple in our team, shutting down right wingers and being able to be in a supportive role offensively. And you know, I think that's what you want to see as an American fan, right? You want to see these guys continue to get better, because we have another World Cup in 3.5 years. And guess what? It's in the United States.
Yeah, which is interesting. It's a nice segue, because Copa America just got announced that 2024 is going to be hosted in the U.S. as well. How important do you think that is for the team to be able to get some meaningful games in the World Cup host cities around the country, and just kind of getting used to that rhythm and play in a proper tournament, very similar to a World Cup. How impactful do you think that is for the group?
Yeah, it's important to play in meaningful games, right? Me and I talked about playing, you know, Real Madrid at the FIFA Club World Cup in a competitive match. Now we get the chance to, you know, potentially play against Argentina, Colombia, Brazil in a meaningful match. And, you know, that'll help these young guys grow as players. And, you know, they'll have to deal with the pressure of playing at home, which is amazing. And, you know, it'll only make our program better. And, you know, I applaud whoever like made Copa America happen in the United States.
Or, that was me and Jimmy. Charlie helped us.
Yeah, we yeah. Charlie was more behind
you guys
the scenes
for making it happen.
Yeah, sure.
No worries. No worries.
It's going to make our program better. And I think that's the most important thing going into
it. We're here for you guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of that, just on scheduling and stuff, you know, the most I ever had to deal with was maybe one or two competitions in the league, and then you have your national team call-ups. You're now talking about, you know, Copa America, Nations League, Gold Cup, you've got Club World Cup, you've got Leagues Cup, you've got the league. I mean, you've got the Open Cup. I mean, at what point do you go, like, this is just, like, this is too much on my body?
When can we rest? That,
yeah,
when are we
because you're not, unfortunately, you're not the kind of guy where they go, oh, yeah, we'll just give him the rest. You're the guy that they go, we know he can do all these matches.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we're not robots, right? We break down eventually. And, you know, I broke down a little bit last year. I had surgery right before the World Cup. And, you know, it wasn't easy. You know, I had been going for essentially like 8 years straight, and it's not easy. And to now add, you know, more games, it's going to be tough. And I think that's when we're going to have to see rosters numbers, you know, 15 through 23 get much better. And we're going to have to be spending much more money on these players, because rotations are going to need to happen and injuries are going to happen. And with the amount of games that we have, we can't see that quality drop mm-hmm. when we're talking about all these competitions, because when when Leagues Cup comes, you know, in, I think it's August or July, and the season stops, you know, are we going to be able to play, you know, our best 11 each and every game? Probably not. Injuries are going to happen. So I think that's what I would like to see, you know, happen, whether they, you know, roster spots 15 through 23 just improve, or we end up spending more money, because these games are, you know, come fast, and we play in a lot of different tournaments.
I can't, Charlie, before you jump in, I can't wait until we replay this clip for the Sounders 15 through 23 players come summertime. And we're like, hey, you should. He said it. You better step up and carry your weight this summer, because he's tired.
Step your ass up.
you all are going to get some playing time, so you better start balling, because this ain't going to cut it.
Christian wants another trophy, man. You got to pick up the game. Yeah.
Speaking of depth, The Sounders are known for grooming these young players now. You have a lot of players coming through the system. But who should we expect to shine in 2023? Who are the young players that are coming through, maybe that haven't had an opportunity, versus the ones that have, that are young, that have obviously a ton of potential?
Jordan Morris doesn't count. Can't say Jordan.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of Obed Vargas last year, and I think he's mm-hmm. he's a quality player. Josh Atencio and Danny Leyva, both in the midfield as well. I think that's why I kind of got pushed out wide. I got to be honest with you. You know, we got these young guys kind of creeping in. And obviously with João Paulo getting hurt with his ACL, you know, we saw a little bit of Josh Atencio, Danny Leyva, Obed Vargas last year. And, you know, there's, like I mentioned earlier, there's going to be games where, you know, we play Sunday, Wednesday, or Saturday, Wednesday, and João Paulo is going to need a rest. And mm-hmm. we're going to see these young guys continue to emerge. And when we talk about the rosters, you know, 15 through 23, these are the guys that are going to help us win trophies. These are the guys that are going to, you know, help us older guys like myself rest a little bit more.
27, talking about an old guy. Stop it. Stop that. Oh, man.
But these guys are the ones that I think are going to bring that spark, that energy that we need. And you know, for every team, you know, you need those type of young guys that also train really well and make the level of training really high.
Is Jao okay, Paulo so good to go, by the way?
Give us some insight.
He's expected to play. I don't know in if he's going to start or you know, come off the bench, but he's going to have a role. And you know, that's what we love to see. He's such an important player. I think, he's you know, part of the reason why we won Champions League and why we've been so successful the last 2 years.
Yeah, he's got that quality of being somewhat of the glue of the team. So hopefully he'll be back and have an impact like always. All right, so last question before we let you go and get prepared for your big game against Al Ahly. That's happening Saturday, and it's 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern kickoff time. You can find it on FS2 or Fox Deportes. And we're talking with Christian Roldan, stud midfielder for the Sounders. Christian, as per tradition here on the podcast, we want to know your favorite jersey swap. Or the one that you tried to get and you got shut down. We'd like both stories, to be honest. But yes. Heath got turned down a lot, and Charlie not too much. But Heath got turned down a lot. So your best jersey swap, who's your favorite? And then maybe one you got turned down on that you really wanted.
To be honest, I don't ask for a lot of jerseys. I'm like Tyler Adams. you know, he's got a little bit more of that attitude and you know, that grit. But I'm kind of, you know, to myself a lot more, but I did ask for Chicharitos. My brother is his athletic trainer, so that made it really easy. And he's such a nice guy. So, you know, maybe I only ask guys that I know that I'm not going to get denied by.
That's fair. That's good strategy.
Okay.
So I have a lot of friends, you know, Jossie Zardes and, you know, Aaron Long and Walker Zimmerman. So just a lot of my good friends that I'm pretty close to.
So if you you win, you play Real Madrid, you're not looking at, yeah, hey, you know, little Benzema here.
Yeah, yeah. Let's look ahead. Like, it's okay, you play Madrid. Who are you going after? Who do you like on Madrid? Modric.
I gotta butter them up in the tunnel, you know. Just be like, hey, give a little wink, you know. Make sure see who kind of has the vibe, you know.
The pats on the back. Yeah. Hey,
you gotta say a little Spanish, you know. Like throw a little Spanish in there, make it feel real local. But I'm telling you should start with the first game, get that big L out of the way, go for their biggest player, let them turn you down, because then. After that point, I'm telling you, it's like love, man. The first cut is the deepest. After that, you'll go ask for any jersey, no matter if you get it or not.
You don't care at that point, huh?
Unbelievable. Christian Roldan, everybody. Woo! We appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining us live from Morocco. We wish you the very best of luck and the Sounders, the first MLS team to ever participate in the FIFA Club World Cup. You are a man, the myth, and a proper legend. And get after him. Let's go, Christian Roldan!
Respect. Keep winking.
Keep winking. Go get him, Christian. Go get him. All right. That was Christian Roldan. And that means it's time for our first and only break of In Soccer We Trust. When we come back, we got some Balogun stuff to talk about. We got Yunus Musa's playing against Real Madrid right now. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, so don't go anywhere.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to In Soccer We Trust. I'm Jimmy Conrad alongside Charlie Davies and Heath Pierce. And guys, we just had Christian Roldan on and we peppered him with questions all over the place. What was your favorite answer, Charlie? What really stood out for you? He's so well put together. It's hard to poke holes or anything in anything that he said. I just enjoyed hanging out with him.
Yeah, same. I think he's just a great person. You can tell just the way he carries himself and, you know, how he addressed the U.S. men's national team, you know, inner turmoil that they were able to solve.
I tried to get a little dirt.
Yeah, you did.
I knew he wouldn't bite.
There's a little dirt under your fingernails, Jimmy. Don't worry.
I was digging. With my little shovel.
I like the wink. He's winking at players in the tunnel.
I like that too.
On the good side.
Nice. How about you, Heath?
I mean, it would be a funny story just to capture Christian Roldan winking in the tunnel to the other team for like years straight to get the final story as to why. And he's like, yeah, I'm trying to get that best jersey from the other team. Nah, but like, again, when you really put it into context in the paper, on paper, he, like a lot of us that played in Major League Soccer at different times, get criticism because that's where we apply our trade, right? When it comes to the depth of the national team. But when you look at all the things he's won and all he's done and all the competitions he's getting to play in, it's pretty remarkable. So just hearing, you know, just hearing his story and hearing his perspective on things was just great.
No, it's exciting. I'm so excited for the club. Again, that game is kicking off at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, as Al Ahly and Seattle Sounders face off for a chance to play against Real Madrid in the semifinals of the FIFA Club World Cup. I do think they're up against it. I think Al Ahly will naturally be sharper because they're in the middle of their season. They've got 15 games under their belt. They've already played against Auckland City in this competition. And I do think that that gives them the slight advantage in terms of match
absolutely smacked them up.
It did smack them up. Yeah, Auckland wasn't in much of the game. Auckland hung around for about 40 minutes. Goalkeeper made a mistake, and then it was just one-way traffic after that. But it should be a good game regardless. As Christian stated, Al Ahly have gotten third in this competition a couple times, and that gives them confidence to know how to navigate, how to get through some tough games. All right, let's focus on some individual players. And I feel like it should be the quest of this podcast moving forward to get Fuller and Balogun on the U.S. men's national team. Now, he can play for England. He has played for the youth national teams. But he is playing so well right now for Reims, I don't know how to say it, but a French club. That's R-E-I-M-S. Go ahead, Charlie. How do I say it?
Reims.
Oh, it's just Reims. It's like Tim Reims. It's Tim Reims' dream French club. I hope he ends up there. That would be kind of funny. Anyway, he had a hat trick yesterday, and it's becoming so undeniable. He scored against PSG the game before that in a 1-1 draw. I assume England would bring him back in, but England is so Harry Kane-focused, and they got Marcus Rashford. They got other players. Like, maybe he'll just fall through the cracks. And why wouldn't he at some point? We've talked about this before, but why wouldn't he come to the U.S. if he knew he would probably play a whole bunch more? Heath Pierce, answer me that.
I'm just trying to think of an English striker that's done well outside of England, that's been in the England national team for at a significant point, like a World Cup. I mean, I'm sure it exists, but I'm just thinking about, you know.
Michael Owen with Real Madrid, right? I mean, going back that far.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Jadon Sancho at Dortmund. Manchester United paid a lot for him. Not to say he was worth that amount.
Yeah, it's true. Bellingham. But yeah, from a striker standpoint. But anyways, I don't know why I brought that brainstorming.
Well, how do we get him? How do we get him over here? What do we have to do?
I still don't think. He might fit into the England fold, but like I still think he's pretty far on those depth charts. That's not like a England national team doesn't seem to have as much of an open door policy as the U.S. does in terms of letting new players in that could challenge, right? We'll take anybody in form right now to come in and prove themselves. Whereas England, had they have a setup, they're knocking on the door, they're close. Of course, the next generation is going to push them out, but I don't know. Maybe that's what he's holding out for, is that his form's undeniable right now. You got to bring him into the fold, but I still think he's pretty far down the depth charts.
Yeah.
Okay. So Charlie, do you know him? How do we get to him? We got to get him on the show. We got to do some type of proposition to convince him.
We already brought Copa America to the U.S. Our right. Next, now we move on. We move on. Next goal.
That's exactly.
Now the next on the show, U.S. national team.
Right. Exactly. All right.
I'm going to work the back channels and see what can
who,
be done.
Do we know who he's close to on the team?
We know Yunus Musa is boys with him.
Okay. Then Yunus Musa needs to get to, after he plays Real Madrid today, he's got to get some goddamn, I know that's one challenge. We got another challenge to bestow upon him. We got to get Yunus on the show, by the way, and see if he can help us plot what we need to do. I don't know. What's going to change his mind? But we don't have anybody right now at US Soccer that can text him.
Yeah.
It's all you got, like, we have no coach. We got, I guess, Anthony Hudson and the staff can be like, hey, man, good job. I'm also the interim coach. I don't know. You know. Then you have no McBride. You got no Ernie Stewart. Like, there's nobody there that can be like, yo, you're kicking ass, red, white, and blue. Come on over. No? I don't know. It's interesting. All right. While we're plotting that, and while people are giving us their ideas in the comments, and if you want to hit us up on Twitter, ISWTPod, what should we do to convince Balogun? What can we do? If you think we have any kind of sway whatsoever, what do you think us three can do to make that happen? Let's talk about Matthew Hoppe making the move to Hibs in the Scottish Premiership. They're currently in sixth. I'll come to you, resident number nine, Charlie Davies. Do you like this move for him? Because it kind of gives me like a, meh.
No, I don't.
He's not playing at Middlesbrough. So
yeah,
what do you do?
I think it would have been a better move for him to come to MLS, to be honest.
Okay.
Or to go to the Dutch league, the Eredivisie. I'm just thinking of or maybe Belgium. It would have been better to go to a smaller league in Europe, to a top division team, and compete there rather than go to Scotland, in my opinion, just because of the way that these teams play outside of Rangers and Celtic. It's very difficult to keep stand the out. Ball to stand out, all of the above. It's one of those moves that I think you're just so desperate to get out. You're just hoping that you find a club, and whatever club eventually works out for you, you're just going to go. There's no thought process. I've been there before. You just want to get out of the situation you're in. You're desperate. Mm-hmm. And obviously Hibs gave him the opportunity and he just took it. There was no second thought. And I think that's just how it came down, is I got to make this move. And when I get there, I just got to make it work on top of that.
Heath, is Matthew Hoppe going the way of Conrad de la Fuente, where he just kind of disappears off of any meaningful radar for the men's
national? If you think about de la Fuente goes to Marseille, you're like, okay, good step for him to start his career. But Marseille was too big of a club to be consistent. And then he goes to Olympiacos. And then where did he go recently from Olympiacos?
He's apparently his move to a whole city fell through.
Oh yeah, so whole city. He's in limbo still, right whole now. City or Olympiacos, still like probably not the right environment for a young player. Then again, you know, he is a La Masia player, and you go, okay, well then. And if I remember seeing glimpses of De La Fuente when he played, where you're like, man, this guy does have some magic. But for Hoppe, same thing. There was some magic in that. A lot of it form based, but he's big size, super athletic. He's just got to find his feet and give me. He's 21. He's just got to go. 24 months of playing really, really well. To Charlie's point, though, it's really hard in a place like that for you to control probably the things that make him good. But if you looked at it as a player coming out of a junior year of college and going and plying their trade at Hibs, because that's the club that's giving them a chance, I like the looks of saying, well, if you are good enough, eventually you're going to break through and maybe get to a Dutch club at that point, or maybe a more big club. But again, Charlie said it well, it's probably his only option. And when you're in that situation, all you're thinking about is, I need out because it's affecting my career. I'll take anything. Or I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's probably not, wouldn't be top of his list if he had three or four options, but it may have been one of only two options. And he took it, and maybe it was the coach, or maybe it was something, or actually their video of announcing it was pretty funny too. So I'll give him that.
No, it was good. Hibs did a nice job with the announcement. If you haven't seen it, it's a play on the movie Superbad, and using
McLovin.
Hoppe. Yeah, McLovin in particular. So yeah, it's a great scene, and they're really clever. And go find it on the internet. It won't be too hard to dig up. Just type in Hibs and Matthew Hoppe announcement, and you'll find what we're talking about to give you some context. All right, so I feel like we've lost a couple players to the Scottish Premiership before. Didn't we? Somebody just played and came back to MLS. Well, I can't think of his name at the moment. It's Christian Ramirez.
Yep.
Okay. And then there was a guy that was, I can't. Why can't I think of his name?
He went to Columbus Crew.
He went to Columbus Crew. How about the kid from
Ramirez? Was one of the higher scorers at one point in the league too. He was doing really well on a relegation fighting team.
And then they changed managers, and I think he just didn't get a shot.
They've got Harks. Harks is there.
Who is the kid from Orlando City?
Mueller.
Chris Mueller. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening with Matthew Hoppe, but it would have been interesting to see him at MLS and which club he would have gone to and how he would have performed. Because
at 21, I'm okay with it. If he was 23, something like that, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But he's 21. I think you get in there and prove yourself just at any club at that tier. And you could put Hibs into a tier of, 50 clubs across Europe. Professional environment, tough competition every week. You're not the biggest. You're not the smallest. And hopefully that's a good environment for him to develop or prove himself.
All right. Another interesting story in the transfer market was the LA Galaxy right back and Mexican international, dual national, could have played for us as well. Julian Araujo, whose deal to go to Barcelona fell through because they didn't get the transfer in time by 18 seconds. And the Barcelona people are basically saying MLS didn't get it done, weren't diligent in their timing to get that across the line. Apparently,
is there a petition on that?
They're going to appeal to FIFA to see if they can still make it happen. But I would be heartbroken if I was
go with Arizona's no daylight savings time, that it was like an hour.
But can you imagine if you put yourselves in his shoes? You get your dream move to Barca. You're telling all your family, your friends. You sign the contract. You're like, I'm going, and then just to hear, actually, the league was 20 seconds too late.
That's like fighting words. I'd be like, who do I need to fight?
Oh gosh.
Yeah. It's been using bureau fax like they did that one time with David De Gea.
Yeah.
Something didn't get done in time, and it's unfortunate. I still think he'll end up making the move, whether it's now or in the summer. They clearly are high on him and what he's capable of. Though I did see that Barcelona was going to start him with the second team anyway. It wasn't like he was going to jump in with the first team away. But again, it doesn't take away from the fact that that's a dream move and having that opportunity.
That's the thing. Is
urgency?
Like, yeah. What's the purpose?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
I mean, and it might be a fair play thing. It might be a roster size thing. It might be a lot of these things till they work him in. So maybe it is better even just to wait till summer anyway. But just seems bizarre anytime somebody goes in at his age and his talent to go into a second team and presume that's a better environment, unless he's training every day with the first team and maybe getting weekend games, which is normal.
Okay, so let's talk about another one of our competitors here in North America. That was a Mexican international. Let's talk about Canada's head coach of the men's national team up there, John Herdman, who had been rumored to be leaving Canada, which I thought to be a bit of a surprise given that we're hosting the 2026 World Cup. Why wouldn't you want to stick around for that and go into New Zealand? Now, he had a previous stint in New Zealand. One of his kids was born there when he was coaching their women's national team from 2006 to 2011 and also their youth women's national teams, then made the transition over to Canada's women's national team and then to the men in 2018, and obviously led them to their first World Cup in 36 years. And, probably be most famous for talking trash about Croatia before the game, then Croatia coming out and stomping them in their match 4-1 after the Croatian coach took a great offense to these words, even though we all understood what Herdman was doing, but Croatia decided to use that as bulletin board material. He clearly can inspire teams and players to play together. He might have been a little bit too, I think, reckless at that World Cup level once it got started to play the same way. I think they could have secured a win or gotten a result, especially in that first game against Belgium, if they just maybe had been a little bit more conservative in different parts of the game. But a great experience for that national team. Obviously, it's just going to strengthen them and give them confidence ahead of the 2026 World Cup and the Copa America, which I pretty much guarantee they're going to be in that as well. Any thoughts on Herdman? I will say that he's not leaving, though. He came out and said that he's going to stay with Canada, but there was a chance of him leaving to go to New Zealand. Heath Pierce.
Yeah, I don't really get the whole thing. I mean, he's had an unbelievable trajectory and seems like a good player motivator. As you said, like, obviously that's the difference between making a comment and not making a comment to motivate another team. But there were things that I think we've brushed over in terms of Canada at the World Cup that were knocking on the door of results but didn't get any of them, which is a little problematic, right? The difference is that Canada was happy to be there. They obviously finished top of qualifying. There is a win in being at the World Cup, but I think that they were a lot closer to what could potentially be a knockout round than what we see on paper and how we'll remember it because of, 20-minute windows in games that they should have been a lot smarter in the way that they played. And that again, in-game management is partially on the players, but it's very much on the coach. So I wonder kind of where the next step of his career is, or why New Zealand was
maybe because he just lived there. Yeah, maybe just because he had been there before and maybe knew. You know, it's nice when you already have previous existing relationships.
Well, by the way, Charlie, the other thing is that with New Zealand, I don't know what the qualifying implications are for 2026, right?
Oceania gets one automatic bid.
Okay, so he's going to a World Cup with New Zealand.
Exactly.
Hey, I don't think this. No disrespect, but they're not losing to Vanuatu or you know.
Put some respect on Papua New Guinea's name.
Yeah, Papua New Guinea. Look, these are all developing nations. I think they're fantastic. I think they're great. But like at the same time, it's a pretty safe bet that they're going to a World Cup. Even on a half bid, they were still 1 foot in the door and have to be able to finish that off, which they didn't. But like, yeah, I get it now.
I'm going to say one. I'm dying at the comments in the YouTube section. Brian Lucas saying, I'm a volcano, dormant volcano, and I'm about to blow up. as you guys are talking, true. Because this was never a possibility. This was never a reality of him leaving.
You think it was a contract negotiation tactic?
I think it's let me see what's out there in terms of what I'm getting for offers so I can go to Canada and say, New Zealand was going to pay me this. New Zealand's not anywhere near the team that we have. So step up what you're offering me. But in terms of his personal development as a coach, he took Canada to the top of the table in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. Mm-hmm. That's a huge, huge check mark on his resume. And gets them to the World Cup. And sure, you know, they had moments, especially in that Belgium game, where they were very close to taking that lead, and they could have easily taken 3 points out of the match, but they didn't because of experience. And then his personal, I think, experience was excelled when you call out a team and it goes the opposite way, trying to motivate your team, and it worked against you. So you can only grow from here. So you're hoping that, man, he's taken our country so far forward. Now he has to start to, I think, manage the smaller things that he can for this club, for this country, to get them to actually get results in a World Cup. So you stick with them. I think Copa America is another big test for him to see how far he pushes his group forward, because all of them are getting their first taste of World Cup at that level. They actually did pretty well considering the results didn't go their way, because everyone was like, oh, I see the potential. Now it's okay. Now we got to take it a whole nother notch forward. You got some new players coming into the fold, and Copa America is another opportunity for him to take a step forward. But for him, other countries are still watching him. He knows there's no better move for him than other than staying with Canada. That's the right move. That's the only move for him. He's not going to continue to move up and get a better job if he doesn't win something with Canada. And I think that's what he's waiting for.
I will say though, Jimmy, results aside from Canada, they are still, and we have a few comments in there. Canada are generations behind the U.S. And I know that when you say it out loud, you go, of course they are. I get it. But a lot of times we lump it all together because of Major League Soccer and everything, and you see how good the player pool is. But like the actual federation, in terms of like, they didn't have anything ready when they qualified for the World Cup in terms of like an announcement or a video. They didn't have their jersey submitted in time to be able to have a customized World Cup jersey to be able to sell. They didn't like the collective bargaining agreement isn't in a place where those players are on par with the performances that they're putting together, right? And then you have a historically good women's national team in Canada as well, that there could be a lot of those factors for him, even for him saying like, you know, this stuff needs to get better. This stuff needs to improve. And these are some beyond my salary, beyond my compensation. These are a bunch of other areas from player development to processes that need to improve if you want me to stick around.
No, and I will say in hindsight, we could argue that Canada did have the group of death. I mean, they had Belgium, who weren't the normal Belgium, shouldn't play to their potential. But Croatia and Morocco both made the World Cup semifinals. And that needs to be thrown into the equation
right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was an excellent, excellent group. And if Belgium actually had played to their level, that just would have made it that.
Oh, if they went three and out, though, I'd be okay. But the fact that they were, you know, okay, early goal against Morocco, but they were in that match very much so. You know, in their first game against Belgium, they were very much in that match as well.
And they had the lead against Croatia, as you said.
And they had that first goal against Croatia, and so it wasn't. I wouldn't be disappointed if they just went 3-0. I'd be like, dude, group of death, Canada, whatever, first World Cup. There's a lot of things to take into consideration. Right. But it just felt like they were almost like we have a right to be more critical because they were so close.
Yeah, that's fair.
Closer than I would have ever expected.
All right. Well, to tie up this podcast for today and send you guys off on a beautiful rest of your day, Friday and this weekend, I wanted to bring up this thing that me and my former national team teammate, not named Charlie Davies and Heath Pierce, DeMarcus Beasley, have entered a tournament, and it's a 7v7 tournament called the soccer tournament, and it's a winner take all, 32 teams, $1 million to the winner. You get second, you get nothing. And so I wanted to ask Charlie and Heath here and put them on the spot. I didn't talk to them about
Jimmy, are you out here plugging like your used wireless cell phone business for like, you know, you plugging thing? Are you doing free plugs?
The only thing I'm plugging is I'm looking for players to join the team, and I want to know how goddamn fit you both are so I can see if you want to play.
I'm fitter.
There's $1 million at stake. $1 million at stake.
Man. I mean, Jimmy, so just for people to know, if they don't know, $1 million at stake, 7-on-7.
Yes.
You can pick
anybody. June 1st through the 4th in Cary, North Carolina. And you can pick anybody.
Are you playing or are you?
Bees is adamant that he's not playing. Might put myself on the roster just as like if somebody gets hurt, I can run out there. I'm no spring chicken. As you guys know, I'm about 87 years old, but I look fantastic for 87 because I've played in multiple World Cups for the U.S., including the 1951. But
Jimmy and Bora.
Chuck, look at Chuck. Captain. Chuck looks like he's thinking about it.
Yeah.
I know I'd be fit enough to play. That's one.
So, Chuck, we're talking. Me and Bees, mm-hmm. You know, we're getting people out there, like, who's recently retired? I got somebody saying you should reach out to Chris Wondolowski.
What's the breakdown, Jimmy? What do I get out of this? You know?
We're splitting it evenly.
Okay.
You get to split out over 100. Me and Bees will take the rest of the 900.
Charlie, let's do a collective bargaining agreement for all of us ex-national team players. on a point bonus per game and stuff like that. No, but honestly, that's I'm really interested to see this because, you know, obviously this tournament comes from the basketball tournament. We have this huge range of players, right? From your quality. And I've had people reach out to me when it first got announced about some guy who's like, I've been doing the basketball tournament for 8 years and I want to do the same in soccer. The furthest I've gotten is the Elite Eight is what he told me. And I was like, it's crazy to me. Like every year you compete and the furthest you've gotten is Elite Eight and now you are all in on soccer. And then I realized like it is a cultural thing in basketball, right? Whereas like soccer is like winner take all. That's it. That's the like anything else is like doesn't matter. And he was like super excited about that result. And so it sounds awesome.
It's gonna be awesome. Now there's a comment here from our very own producer Alex who says, forget it, Jimmy, $1 million isn't getting Charlie out of bed, which is probably true, which is probably the amount of rent that he gets per month from all of his houses. But Chuck, I know you're thinking about it. That's one. And I'm giving you plenty of time to get into shape. That's another. So another thing too, let me tell you the rules. Okay. 7v7. So a goalkeeper and then six field players, 20 minute halves. Now, after the 40 minutes is done, this is their unique twist on the rules. I should also add that the goals are bigger, so that means Charlie will actually score a few. They're making them a little bit bigger.
Yep.
But after the 40 minutes, if let's say the game is 3-1. After the 40, it's done, whistle blows, then it goes into an extra untimed period. There's no end to it. Instead, it goes into a target score. So it has to be one more goal than with the highest number at that point. So if a 3-1 score line is the finish after 40 minutes, you have to, whoever gets the four first wins the game. Now, obviously, if you have three, you just have to have one to finish it off. But it gives that other team a chance to tighten things up and try to get three on the bounce. Yeah, but here's another twist. If it's still, you haven't hit the target score in that untimed period at the end, after 10 minutes, you take one player off. After five more minutes, you take another player off. So it goes 5v5, then 4v4, then 3v3, then 2v2, then 1v1. It won't get there because everybody will be so dead tired. But yeah, goalkeeper wars. But I want to throw that out there, Chuck. That means you get to really kick your ass on the Peloton, whatever your brother's saying in the chat. Like you're just kind of dog it on the Peloton. Yeah. So
hey, if people want to start working out with me on the Peloton, like let's go. I need some motivation. So let's go. It's been a while.
Chuck, you're thinking about it though. Heath, not so much. But Chuck,
the only thing that is hesitating me is really, I think, holding me back is the fact that I'm going to be working. I don't know if I'm going to be able to take work off.
Charlie.
When did Charlie become a grown ass man and all of a sudden responsibilities? Job, and come on, what are you talking about? What the dude? You're Charlie Davies. You tell people when you're gonna be there. You don't. They don't tell you.
Yeah. Charlie's gonna move the whole Paramount Plus studio down to Cary, North Carolina for a month.
What? three days, Chuck. You can't find 3 days off.
Can we bring the pod down there too?
We should bring the pod. Because there's gonna. Well, listen. I already know that Nacox is bringing a team. I think that Charlotte FC is committing a team. FC Cincinnati. We have hashtag United for everybody on the YouTube front. Spencer Owen, my friend, is bringing over his team that's competing now at a high level. I'm hearing there's other big clubs and names that want to get in and involved.
I think Clint Dempsey has a team.
Heather O'Reilly has a team.
Okay.
And so, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people there that we should get on the pod and have live shows. So we're just throwing that out there to put pressure on the higher ups that we want to be there. I'll be there anyway with Bees. We should get Bees on here to talk about it a little bit more too, obviously.
Yeah.
You got any sponsors locked in?
They're working on that. Yeah.
No, I mean for your team, Jimmy. Come on.
Oh, I'm working on that as well. Yeah, we got some irons in the fire, as we like to say. But that was it. I just wanted to get your thoughts. And if anybody listening or watching has any ideas of players we should sign, let us know. Because we're getting some people coming out of the woodwork that used to play that think, I got a couple months to get fit, like Charlie, and I think it can contribute. And I think we're going to put together a good squad. But we're trying to find that mix for the people that might be the delicate playmakers that can't run so much anymore. Can you give me a little hint to who
you're thinking as far as on this team?
I can't, because what if somebody else goes to try to steal that player?
That's true.
I gave you Wando.
Okay.
Wando. Okay. So we're trying to reach out to Wando to see if he's interested.
I would bring out the whole Bash Brothers for that game, for the, like just three
Ooh,
guys crashing
get
in the
Steven
box.
Lenhart and Alan Gordon. That's not a bad shout.
Yeah, just three guys in the box all the time. Just
I have to get Mike McGee, Johnny Bornstein is a shout. That is a goddamn shout. Shout out to Heather Tercios for the Johnny Bornstein. Way to go, Johnny boy!
Not funny, Heather.
Not funny at all. All right, everybody, that is it for In Soccer We Trust for this episode. A big shout out to Christian Roldan once again for coming on the show. Good luck to him and the Seattle Sounders this weekend. That game is Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. That'll be on FS2 or Fox Deport Days. I highly encourage you to watch it. This is a pretty historic moment for an MLS Cup to be in this competition. And on behalf of producer Dez, producer Alex, Charlie, and Heath, and me, Jimmy Conrad, we appreciate your listening and supporting your favorite podcast, and we look forward to giving you two more shows next week with, I think, if Charlie's special guest comes through, will be a pretty awesome show and another great week of games. So that's it. That's all we got. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you soon. Have a good weekend. Later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.